Good afternoon. So the world's leading expert on European wasps walks into a record store. Ooh, a record store. Remember those? Yeah. The world's leading expert on European wasps walks into a record store. And he asks the assistant, "Do you have European Vespidae Acoustics Volume 2? I believe it was released earlier this week. You may know it by its more popular title of Stinging in the Rain." "Certainly," replies the assistant, "but it's only available on vinyl. Would you like to maybe listen to it before you buy it?" "That would be wonderful," says the expert and puts on a pair of headphones. He listens for a few moments and then says to the assistant, I'm terribly sorry, but I am the world's leading expert on European wasps. And this recording, it is not accurate at all. I don't recognise any of these sounds. Are you sure I'm listening to the right thing? Is this the correct recording?" The assistant checks the turntable, checks the vinyl, replies that it is indeed European Vespidae Acoustics Volume 2, more commonly known as Stinging in the Rain. The assistant apologises for any inconvenience, lifts the needle back onto the vinyl. Again, the expert listens for a few seconds, then says to the assistant, no, this can't be right. I've been an expert in this field for 43 years, and I don't recognise any of these sounds." The assistant assures him that this is the correct recording, apologises again, and lifts the needle back onto the vinyl. The expert listens for a few more seconds, then throws off the headphones. By now, he is fuming. "This is outrageous. I am the world's leading expert on European wasps. No European wasp has ever made a sound like the ones on this recording." The manager of the shop overhears the commotion and walks over. "What seems to be the problem, sir?" "This is an outrage. I am the world's leading expert on European wasps. Nobody knows more about these creatures than I do. There is no way in the world that the sounds on that recording were made by European wasps." The manager lifts the vinyl off the turntable, immediately sees the problem. "I'm terribly sorry, sir," he says. "It appears that we've been playing you the B-side." I know. It's a terrible joke. Blame the singletons. They just come from my terrible jokes. And the punchline is awful. But what did you expect? And sometimes we get just that, don't we? We get exactly what we expect. And at other times, we don't. I'm going to read you a gospel story where a group of men, and one man in particular, gets so much more than they expect. So I'm going to read to you from Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 17, and I'm reading from the NIV. Sorry, if you'll excuse me, the printing has shrunk over the last few months. "One day, as he was teaching Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, they were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, 'Friend, your sins are forgiven.' The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, 'Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, 'Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins,' he said to the paralyzed man, 'I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home.' Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, 'We have seen remarkable things today. Now, the thing that I see most in this story is that Jesus does so much more than is asked of him. The four men bring their paralyzed friend to Jesus, hoping that he will perform a miracle and that their friend will be healed. And even though that is an absolutely massive thing, Jesus does so much more. It's as if he says, I don't want to do just that. I don't want to give you just that. I want to give you this. The four brought their friend to Jesus, hoping that Jesus would perform a miracle, hoping their friend would walk. Jesus did that, and amazing and astounding and awesome as that is. Can you imagine being in that room when Jesus says, son, get up and walk? Jesus does this amazing, astounding, awesome thing, and yet he does so much more. He forgives this man. He makes this man right before God. He cancels the debt. Jesus did for this man something that none of them had even thought about, had even considered possible, had even paid the slightest bit of attention to. And why would they? And yet this is what Jesus did. These men came to Jesus daring to hope that Jesus might do something amazing. Possibly the most amazing thing that they could imagine Jesus doing. And Jesus does that. And yet he does so much more as well. One of the things that I knew before becoming minister at South Bank Baptist, but it's something that God has reminded me of and then shown me again and then taught me all over again, is that God is so much bigger than I think he is. And that he can do so much more than I think he can. And I believe that this story has so much to say to us as God's church. So much to say to this church. It's a story that speaks to us directly as we seek to love and serve God and bless the community in which we are rooted in whatever way we can. This is a story that tells us that Jesus wants to do so much more than we dare to believe is possible. This is a story that tells us that Jesus can do so much more than we might even dare to ask for. This is a story that tells us that Jesus will do more than we might even think is possible. And that sounds like good news, doesn't it? Good news for Mask Community Church. Good news for this community. But this is also a story, I think, that God uses to speak to us. Certainly used it to speak to me, to challenge me personally. You know, God has used this story to stretch and grow my faith over the months and years of being a minister. You know, there have been times when it has felt like God has said to me, do you really think I can do that? Do you think I can answer that prayer? Do you think I can change that situation? Do you think I can help that person? And my faith might have wavered, and I might have been full of doubt. And then God reminds me of this story and shows me again that he can do so much more than I dare to ask for, even dare to hope for. And God has used this story to challenge me to pray big prayers and to pray them consistently and regularly, even when something doesn't seem to change. It's like God's been saying, well, don't you think I can do that? Do you think that's too difficult for me? And I might have felt discouraged, and I might have thought that God has not heard my prayers, and that God reminds me then of this story and reminds me that he can do so much more than I can even begin to imagine. And so we keep praying, don't we? Praying as individuals, praying as small groups, praying as churches. And we keep praying those big prayers. Prayers for God to change this spiritual atmosphere and break chains and bring freedom and hope and peace. And we keep praying those big prayers. Prayers for God to transform lives and for his kingdom to flourish and grow and for his light to drive out the darkness. Even when it's hard. Even when nothing seems to change, this story encourages us to pray big prayers because God can do so much more than we even begin to imagine. And God uses this story to challenge me, to challenge us to trust him. To trust him that he is good and faithful. To trust that he knows what he's doing. To trust that he will do what only he can do. Even when little old me is doubting that he hears my prayers because I continually let him down. Even when I'm doubting that he hears my prayers because it feels like God has disappeared. It's like God saying, well, what, do you think I don't care? Do you think you care more for these people than I do? Do you not think that every single one of these people matter to me? And God reminds me, reminds us through this story, that Jesus loves even the most broken people, and that his love is more powerful than any of us can comprehend. Mm-hmm. And God uses this story to challenge me, to challenge us about the way we pray, the things that we pray for. You know, it challenges me to think more deeply about what God might want to do, rather than just come to him as if I know what's best, and he, Almighty God, just needs to do what I ask him to. He keeps having to teach me this because I keep messing this up. I keep coming to him saying, God, will you please do this? Having literally taken no time at all to consider what God might want to be doing. Having not taken the time to ask him to guide my prayers or to listen to his voice. And then God reminds me of this story. And I see that he has got plans and purposes that are far beyond what even I could begin to imagine. You know, so many times I find myself guilty of putting God in a box. Maybe you're guilty of the same thing. And inevitably, the box is way too small. Can God do this? Why would God even listen to me? Why hasn't he done this? Why hasn't he answered my prayers? Why doesn't he answer my prayers? Because he seems to answer other people's. So often my faith and my hope and my trust in God is too small. Maybe yours is the same. Can God really do something here? Can God really move in this community? Can God really help me? And then we see this story with fresh eyes maybe. And we see Jesus as the one who wants to do so much more than we might dare to believe is possible. And we see Jesus as the one who wants to do so much more than we might think to ask for. And we see Jesus as the one who wants to do so much more than we might even comprehend as possible. This is a story that God has used to build and strengthen my faith and encourage me to keep going when things have been tough. This is a story that God has used to teach me that he is the one that can do so much more. And I think that God wants to speak to you as individuals and as a church through this story today. I think and believe that God wants to remind you at this particular moment in time that he can do so much more than you might hope for. He can do so much more than you might dare to imagine is possible. You know, I've literally lost count of the number of conversations that I've had with people over the years. Those conversations about God being able to do so much more than they'd hoped for and imagined. I've lost count of the number of times that it feels like God has said to me and through me, you ask for that. You think that's what you want. But I don't want to do that. I want to do this. But the truth is, that often those conversations are tinged with disappointment. You know, they're streaked with hurt and pain. Because they're mostly conversations about how God has not yet answered a prayer, or certainly not answered a prayer in a way that we hoped it would. Conversations about how it seems that God isn't doing anything at all. And this story of the man on the mat, this story prepares us for that, I think. Because this is a story that isn't just about glory and the miraculous and the awesome power and authority of Jesus. It's also about waiting and wondering and frustration and desperation and all the hurt that goes on with those things. Honest question. You don't have to answer it out loud, but just think about it. Have you ever wondered how old this man on the mat is? The one they brought to Jesus? We don't know. We have no way of knowing. How long has he suffered? We can only assume for a number of years. How many prayers have been prayed during that time? How many sacrifices promised and offered? How many tears have been shed? How much anger? How much disappointment? How many sleepless nights? How many, God, where are you? What are you doing? Why haven't you done anything? Lots and lots, I'm sure. Through this story, through my time leading and serving a couple of Baptist churches, God has shown me again and again that he is not just the God of the instant answer. He is not only the God of the immediate and miraculous response. He is also the God of the long game. As much as we might want him to be, he is not the God who will solve all of our problems straight away. As much as he could if he chose to, our God is not the God who will take all of our pain away instantly. Sometimes I've been reminded that our God is a God who wants to do so much more than we dare to hope for or imagine, when I've been hanging on literally by my fingertips. Sometimes I've been reminded that our God is a God who is so much bigger than I can even comprehend, when I've wanted to give up, when I've wanted to quit, when I've wanted to walk away. Sometimes I've been reminded that our God is a God who can do so much more than I can even begin to ask for, when everything else feels too difficult, too stressful, too painful. Our God is a God of the long game. He does not always choose to take our pain away instantly. And one of the things that God has shown me constantly during my time in ministry, one of the things that God has reminded me of through this story, one of the things that I believe that God has wanted me to both understand and experience during my time leading the church in South Bank, is that following Jesus is not just one experience of victorious living after another. It is not one experience of victory after another. You know, we can read a story like this and fall into the trap of thinking that Jesus will just do amazing things that we're praying for and hoping for. And if he doesn't, well, then something must be wrong. Most likely we're doing something wrong, or there's something wrong with our hearts, or there's something wrong with our motives, or something like that. But the thing that we can so easily miss from this story is that the man that Jesus forgives and then heals, he has suffered much over a long time. So this story, it doesn't only speak to us about the awesome healing power of Jesus. I think it also speaks to us about waiting for God to do what only God can do. Waiting for God to do what only God can do. And sometimes that waiting is easy, and at other times it's difficult. Sometimes that waiting is exciting, other times it's painful. Our God is absolutely the God who can do so much more than we hope for or expect. So often that does not happen straight away. You don't need me to tell you that. And we have to wait. We have to wait for God to do what only God can do. You know, during my time as a minister, and one thing that I've learned and needed to learn over and over again is to wait for God. To learn to trust that God's timing is always right. That he always knows what he's doing. And that he will always do amazing things. He will just not fit into my time scale, our time scale. And that waiting, that trusting, it is rarely easy. And the temptation is always there to try and force things through or push them along somehow. But so often God is just asking us, asking me, to be patient. You know, I believe that I'm a very different minister to the one who came here more than 11 years ago. And one of the main ways that I've grown is patience. And I've grown kicking and screaming and not wanting to be, but I've grown in patience. Trying to trust that God will do what only He can do. But I've got to be able to wait for that. Excuse me. If I'm really honest, I don't know what you're facing as a church at this moment. I don't know what things you are dealing with. I don't know what things you're struggling with. I don't know what things you're waiting on God for. I don't know what your hopes and your plans and your dreams are that you have together as a church. But I have had a lot of time to think about what to bring you today as a church. And this is definitely what I believe is the thing that you need to hear as a church. God can do so much more than we dare to ask for, dare to hope for. So I want to encourage you. Encourage you to keep going, even when things seem really, really difficult. And I want to encourage you to keep trusting that God knows what He is doing and that He will do what He can only do, even when it feels like He isn't doing anything. And I want to encourage you to be patient. I want to encourage you to be at ease waiting for God's timing, which is never easy. And if you manage that, please come and tell me how you do that. But I want to encourage you to be patient, to not get weighed down by disappointment or frustration because God isn't fitting into your timescale. Hold on to the fact that God is good, always and only and ever good. And that He's not just the God of the instant answer, He's the God of the long game. And most of all, I want to encourage you to keep going, to keep praying, to keep loving one another, to keep loving and serving your community. Because God wants to do something amazing in you and through you. But He doesn't just want to do that. He wants to do that. Let's pray together. I'm just going to give you a moment just to be quiet. Yeah, the main call is...